Good evening, everybody. Good to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. If this sounds familiar to you, we are here Wednesday night, and I knew the direction I was wanting to go this Sunday evening, and God happened to use this particular passage that Pastor preached on Wednesday night, but I'm going to take it a little bit of a different direction this evening, and I'm not going to go in the same direction that he went into Wednesday night. We're going to a different direction. It's kind of like what Sterling said last Sunday night as we were kind of giving our testimonies for the men's retreat. As they're reading along the book of Colossians, God began to stir something in Sterling's heart, and he began to do his own devotion during that time. And that happens. That's what God did with me here in this particular verse of chapter number 26, verse number 16. So before I go any further, thank you, Pastor, for doing all the footwork for me. I appreciate that. But anyway, I'm thrilled to be able to speak tonight on what I titled this message, Fences. Fences. You and I need fences placed in our lives. And as I begin to think about the word fence and the work that goes into to play here, I begin to look up the world's longest fence. Does anybody have an idea of the world's longest fence and where it's at? Anybody? Pastor knows. Anybody else? The world's longest fence, who said something?
I said the
Great Wall of China. The Great Wall. That's a wall. Anyway, the world's longest fence, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, since you know it's in Australia, and it's 3,488 miles. That's how long the fence is. Now think about the labor that had to go in place to put that fence up. A lot of labor went in, and we're going to be dealing with labor tonight when it comes to building fences. We're going to see some things, hopefully tonight, that will be a necessity for your life. So as we begin reading here in verse number 15, again, the footwork has already been provided. It's already gone through. We know that Uzziah was a young king at the age of 16 and began to do a lot of great things for his land at this point in time. And verse number 15, it says, "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad." Look what these words say here next. It says, "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." Meaning at the age that he was at, he had a great deal of people that surrounded him, that was giving him advice, that was giving him counsel, who helped him on a daily basis because of his age at this point in time. But with that being said, we go on to verse number 16. It says, "But when he was strong," meaning that he grew up a little more, became a little bit more wiser, but at the same time, he became more aware of his surroundings and became, can we say, use the word evil. It says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." It sounds to me that Uzziah left the people behind him that were a help to him on a daily basis, and he began to want to do his own thing, and because he wanted to do his own thing, his heart became strong, and it was lifted up to his destruction. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin to go through this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've allowed us to be here once again. God, I pray that as you have spoken to my heart in my area of life this week on where I need to put the fence up in my life, God, I pray that you would continue to help me build this on a daily basis. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. Use me to be a voice to your people. I pray that I would not get ahead of you. I pray that I would not say anything to cause you shame or not to bring you glory. Lord, my first goal is to glorify you. And I pray that that would be done tonight. Lord, if there is somebody here that is yet to accept you as Lord and Savior, God, I know that we won't be dealing specifically with salvation, but God, I know that you can always use your word to penetrate the heart that needs to be spoken to. So God, I pray that if someone's here tonight, I pray that they would get things right with you. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So we see here that Uzziah's heart was strong, and it was lifted up to his destruction. What I see take place in the life of Uzziah at this point in time was the lack of fences in his life. And so with that being said, I want to talk to you about the construction, the constructing part of a fence. When it comes to building a fence, you and I, we need to have boundaries, do we not? I begin to drive over this great state of Iowa Friday morning and begin to go through some of Missouri, or if you're from the south, it's Missouri, and then we begin to drive into Kansas. I begin to see a lot of fields that were placed with fences. Their boundaries were marked out because as you come across a certain field, it says this land is owned by so-and-so, and they mark out their territory. They put boundaries around it, then somebody else owns that land. And so they have fences that are built. So when you're building a fence, you must determine your boundary line. You and I, as children of God, we should have certain boundaries in our lives, and we should be able to build fences around that boundary. I like to use this illustration. My favorite sport growing up was basketball. It's still my favorite sport. Unfortunately, I'm not able to play at this point in time because, I don't know, the doctors say, well, since you're on blood thinners, if you fall down and hurt yourself, you can bleed. It's like, okay, I'll take the time off for a while, but please get me back to playing basketball. I want to play before it's too late. But anyway, in the realm of basketball, you have boundaries inside of those. And you're able to do anything inside those boundaries according to the rules of basketball, if you follow those rules. But once you step outside of those boundaries, you have committed an offense, you have broken those rules because you've gone beyond those boundaries. So you need to have a boundary line. Here is what I see in the life of Uzziah at this point in time. His heart, when it was young, he had help. He had people with him, guiding him along the way. And as he began to grow and begin to mature, he no longer had boundaries around his heart because it became his destruction. You and I, as God's children, I want you to think about this and really take this into consideration tonight. You and I need to place boundaries around our heart, boundaries around our life. And then when we begin to place those boundaries, that is when you and I need to begin to build that fence that needs to go up. And I'll begin to explain later on as we go the importance of the fence. And so Uzziah's heart didn't have any boundaries. And for this very reason, he didn't build a fence around that boundary and was no longer protecting his heart. Here's what I begin to understand. When you don't have boundaries or when you don't have a fence around your heart, everybody has a breaking point, or you have an area in your life that's been left unattended. And when that boundary is unattended, or when that fence line is unattended, there is an invader or an intruder that can come in and can be able to cause damage to what is inside that boundary. Again, this is the heart that we're talking about. You and I need to have boundaries. We need to have a fence. We need to guard our heart. And so Uzziah didn't place those boundaries as he got older. The fence, if it was there, maybe it was broken down. He didn't have no protection. And so the intruder, the invader, was able to come in. And when they come in, they're able to destroy what is there. Has anybody ever had anything stolen from them? You feel violated. You feel like somebody's turned their back on you. You can't believe what has happened to you. I remember when Chris and I first got married, we were living in an apartment complex out there by where old Kmart's at. And it's no longer Kmart. It's Baumgartner's. That's weird for me to see because ever since I was a kid, it's always been Kmart. And so we lived out there, and I had a little sports car. It was a 1987 Fiero GT. I don't know if any of you folks are familiar with that. But it was just a little two-seater sport car. It was a very cool car for me at that point in time. Funny thing about that car was, that was our honeymoon car as well. And I remember getting into that car after our wedding. Chris still had her dress on from the wedding. Most people change after the wedding now, but she was still in her wedding dress. And I could not see beyond the window because that dress took up the window space there. But I remember I liked that car. And we were in our apartment complex. It was probably 2-3 months after we got married, and I went down to the laundry room at this point in time, And I was checking on the laundry, and I looked outside, and the parking lot was there. And lo and behold, I didn't see my car. I was like, what is going on here? And I went inside and told Chris I didn't see the car. I went back out there. Maybe it would just magically appear. Once again, maybe someone's doing a magic trick on me. But I went back out there. It was still gone. And I was furious. I was upset. I was thinking, why would somebody take my wheels that I needed? We depended upon those things. If I didn't have my car, she couldn't go to work. I couldn't go to work. We couldn't pay her bills. And so I felt violated. Well, what happened? Why did they steal my car? For this very reason, I left it accessible to them. I didn't put any boundaries around it. I didn't put any fences up. Most people, when they get home at night, they lock their car. And that's their protection. There's something that my wife does that's kind of funny. She puts her car in the garage, and she still locks the car in the garage. And when I got to go out to her car to get something, it irritates me. Like, oh, why is the car locked? It's been sitting in the garage. But anyway, that took place because there's no boundaries. We got to have boundaries. But everybody has that breaking point. And we need to take caution and begin to make preparation on our boundaries, on our heart, to begin to put that fence that needs to be in place. There is no boundary in your life that should be neglected, that should be neglected, because if it is neglected, again, that intruder, that invader will come in and begin to destroy what God has been putting together for years at a time. And so we need to pay attention to every single detail in the boundary, and we need to pay attention and be diligent as we begin to put up the fence that is in our lives, or that needs to be in our lives. And so now we're going to move on from the boundaries that we have, but now we're going to move on to the fence building. I am a person who is not gifted in building. I'm just not that person. God didn't design that for me in my life. And thank God for that. But I marvel at the men and the women who have that ability to be able to look at something or have something in their mind and begin to build things. I'm a person that I like to be beside somebody, and once it's all said and done, I'm like, yeah, I had a part in that. And, well, what'd you do? Well, I got him a tool. Well, that's no big deal. Well, to me it was, because if he didn't get that tool for me, he wouldn't be able to finish the project. But cues like that, exactly. I know he knows what I'm talking about. But I'm not gifted in those things. But if you were to give me a task to do that was important in my life, I guarantee you that I'm going to do everything within my power to do that. So once the boundaries have been determined in your life, the next phase that needs to take place is to begin to build the fence. Again, Uzziah, he was young and his heart was not yet strong. He had people there. But he got to a certain age, his heart got strong, and all of a sudden, all those boundaries that were placed around him, all those fences that had been built up by other people, were destroyed, and he gave in to destructions. And so we need to begin to have that building stage take place in our life. And I begin to understand that as you begin to build, you need to have what for that project? Anybody, real quick? I've been doing a lot of teaching over at Across the Way with the discipleship program, and what I do now is I interact with our students, and we talk. And so what is it that we need to build a project? Materials, tools. Tools are very important for us to have. So one of the things that God has given us to build things in our life is one of the most important tools that you and I probably don't realize that we have it, and that is necessary for everything in our life, and that is God's Word. God's Word is the biggest tool, the most important tool for us to have, and inside that tool, there are many other tools that are laid out for us to pick up to be a big part in that building process. If you were to go into anybody's garage, they have what they call a toolbox. Some have big toolboxes on wheels, and you begin to open that toolbox, which is very important. But then you open that thing, and you begin to see multiple tools. And they have those tools for one very reason, is because they know that every project that they have, they're going to need a certain tool to begin to do the work that needs to be done. Now you have straight screwdrivers, you have Phillips screwdrivers, and you have tiny little screwdrivers. They're all important, and every material has something different for us. But you and I, we need to take preparation when we begin to gather our tools to build the fence. And if we leave God's word out, that's when our building program that we have in our life is going to be ineffective. And so God's word is the most important tool that you and I can have when building our fence. Why is that the most important thing? Because one of the things that you and I are attacked with every single day is we're attacked by Satan. And if we forget to bring our tool, which is our word, Satan is going to attack us every single day. Our boundaries are going to be exposed. He's going to see the holes in the fences that we're trying to build, and he's going to tear everything up. But when you and I bring the most important tool, which is God's word, we're going to stand victorious. And I tell you what, they tremble at the name of Jesus. I know that for a fact because I've been bothered at times by thoughts. I've been bothered by times with Satan trying to play with my mind. But as soon as I begin to say the name of Jesus, those worries, those troubles go away. Why? Because I'm bringing the most important tool that can fight him off, and that is God's word. And so every tool that God has given you to build a fence is important. And some of us, maybe we might be leaving that tool out of our lives. And we might not even be opening that toolbox to see the other tools that are important to us along the way. We might be neglected those things. Well, when we neglect those things, that fence that we begin to build up, I guarantee you will fall down when the proper tool is not used. It will fall down. If anybody ever built a project and you've gotten something at a store and it all comes prepackaged and they have all these tools in there, nuts and bolts and all those things, and you get that thing together and you still have five screws, five bolts, five nuts that are still left behind, and you're thinking to yourself, hey, it's standing, it's going to work. Well, all those tools that are still there, eventually what you built is going to fall down. I know firsthand because that's happened to me. So we need to get into the tool, which is God's word. So without using the proper tools, the fence that you are about to build can become very weak over time. And you don't want to have a weak fence. You want to have a strong fence. You want to have a sturdy fence to fight off the invaders, the intruders that want to come into your property, that want to come into your life. That property is your heart, and that's the thing that you got to guard the most in your life. When the fence isn't built properly, the invader will take advantage on you. He will sit there and look around, and he'll begin to say, man, I can get into his heart this way, I can get into his heart that way, and I can get into his heart this way. And when we allow him access because of the tools that we don't use, that fence is weak and can be broken down. I remember it's been about a year and a half ago, some of our men were in this class, and we had the security guy come in and begin to teach us some things that were important to him that he wanted to bestow upon us. What we didn't know what took place the night before. He told us this in the class that day. He says, whenever I do a class on security and preparing the church to take the seriousness of security, well, I go in the day before and I try to see if I can get into the church. And then he'll drive around the town and he'll begin to check things out. Why? Because he wants to find a way in. He wants to find the weakest point. And to our surprise, we passed that test, even though we didn't know he was coming. He came and he says, you know, you guys are all well lit. The property's lit up. It was, everything was locked, and that's great. The place is secure. He didn't stop there. He says, within the next few minutes, he says, I have gone to a church before, and I got there the day before. I was able to walk into the church. I was able to walk into the treasurer's office. I was able to open up the safe and take $2,000, and I laid it before their eyes the very next day. Why is that? Because the fences that they thought they had in place were not in place, or they were not properly taken care of. And so when an intruder wants to get in, he's going to find the weakest point of access, and he's going to work his way in. which is why you and I should not allow any access. That fence that we are going to build or should be building in our lives should be taken with great detail, great thought, great consideration, and not have any holes or any type of accessibility for him to come in. Why? Because the invader wants to take advantage of you, and he wants to take ground on you. He will begin to look for the weak spots. Why? Because he wants to attack you. He doesn't want you to be successful for the Lord. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to crumble. He doesn't want you to have any victory in your life. Why? Because he's mad at the very fact that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have a relationship with him, and he wants to destroy that very thing. And so fences need to be in our lives, not just around our heart, but you and I as spouses, we need to have fences around our marriage. You and I as parents, we need to have fences around our children and grandparents. We need to have fences around our grandchildren. Why? Because it's for their protection. Fences are important in our lives because we don't want to be attacked. We don't want to be taken advantage of. Uzziah didn't build a fence, even though very wise at his age. He was very ignorant on taking steps to build a fence around his heart. You saying Uzziah was stupid? I was saying he was ignorant. He didn't take caution in his life. He didn't guard the very thing that God gave him. Yes, he was wise. He was able to do things beyond some of his peers' years. He was so wise, but yet at the same time so very ignorant because he wasn't guarding his heart. The first thing that we got to do is begin to take those steps. Take those steps and begin to build that fence. I've also known that when you build things, it can become very exhausting. I remember years ago, a lot of you folks don't know this, but I actually worked for Neil Bach when I just got out of high school. And one of the things that he did, he builds walls, the concrete walls. And so I got in on a project that just got finished. And the walls that were built, they had plates that were around them. And in those plates, they filled those things up with concrete. Of course, they sprayed oil all over those things so that when it came time to take those steel walls off, they would come off very easily. And so I got in on the very end stage of that. And when I got there, I had to have a hammer because I didn't know what was going to take place that day. But I was hammering out pins and needles all day long to break those plates away from the wall. And as I begin to hammer, I've never hammered like this in my life, but I got to a point probably about 2 hours later where my forearm completely cramped up. And I had no idea what was going on with my forearm. It's one of those things that you cannot control. It's just like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you get a cramp in your foot. Has everybody been there? You've woken up with a cramp in your foot and the first thing you're trying to do is straighten that thing out. That became very exhausting for me, very trying on my body. And so building fences can become very exhausting, but not nearly exhausting as fighting battles every day against the enemy. See, you're going to have to condition yourself. You're going to have to prepare yourself to build that fence. And the best way that you can condition yourself and the best way that you can prepare yourself for the fence building is going back to that very tool that God has designed for you to use, and that is his word. If you're not conditioned spiritually, you will fail spiritually. So often people are indulged on getting themselves fit physically, but they don't care about themselves spiritually. I have taken care of my body for years. I have understood that as I have gotten older, things that you build up eventually go down. Things that you work on don't benefit you in the long run. I begin to understand those things. That's why the Word of God says bodily exercise profiteth what? Little. Exactly. It profiteth little. And I'm not going to tell you not to work out or exercise because I believe it's important, but that shouldn't be your main concern. What should be your main concern is going into that toolbox, which is God's Word, and exercise spiritually so that you can have the stamina, so that you can have the physical, the spiritual fitness to stand up against Satan when your fence line comes under attack. So you need to do these things. And so we're going to move on to the next phase in our fence building, and that is completing the fence. Completing the fence. I have come in contact with so many people who start one project, can't finish that project, and they'll begin to move on to another project. And they have no idea what it's like to complete a project. There is a guy that was just recently in the news this past spring. He had several old classic cars, I believe it was in the city of Red Oak. And they said that they were going to auction off all of his old cars. And it was talking like cars, what Pastor's talking about this morning, 1965 GTO. You had your Trans Ams in there. You're talking all these muscle cars. Cars that were still in pretty good condition. They had some rust upon the body. But he said he began to collect these cars because he bought every car to work on them. And as he began to work on them, he found another car and neglected that car. And it would just go on and go on and go on to the point, I believe he had over 75 different cars, maybe more. But he never completed the work that he had. So when it comes time for the fence to be built, we don't stop there. We have to complete the process. Complete the process. So often in our lives, we don't completely finish the fence building. Some of our fences are a quarter way done. Some of our fences are halfway done. Some of our fences are three quarters of a way done, but not completely finished. And when they're not completely finished, Satan is allowed access inside your boundaries, inside your very life. And when he's inside your very life, he begins to attack you and will attack you at any given time. Which is why it's important for us to complete the fence building process. Don't leave anything unattended. Don't leave anything unaccomplished, even though it might be grueling at times, even though it might be exhausting at times. You and I need to stay the course and continue to build the fence that needs to be in our lives so that we can have Satan not having access to our very lives, not giving him our hearts, and that's important for us to understand these things. Because the last thing that we want is Satan to attack us. It's just like what Brother Logan was talking about last week. It's no different what I'm talking about right now. If we don't address the drip, what's going to happen? You're going to have a flood. If you don't address building a fence, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get attacked. You got to have that in place. And so there may be some times you may need help in the process of building a fence. And I've come to understand and realize things. I can't do everything by myself. I get worn out. I get fatigued. I get tired. And I'm not able to do the things that I used to do when I was a younger person. It's amazing how that goes away from you. But even though you might come to that point in time in your life, there is somebody who is always there who is willing to help you. Again, how do we know that? Going back to the tool that has been given to us is the Word of God. And if we read the Word of God, we will see that God wants to help us. He is waiting to help us. We begin to build that fence and it doesn't become complete. Why? Because we become totally dependent upon ourselves. When in actuality, we need to be totally dependent upon God. We say, God, hey, I know you want to have a fence in my life. I know I need to build it. But God, I cannot build this fence without you. I'm physically strained. I'm becoming emotional at times because I'm spending time away from my family. I'm tired. God, please help me in my life to build this fence that will never get brought down because you built it. I need your help. And you know what? God wants to help you, and he will help you. That is a promise that you can have. And so you might have that point in time, I can't finish it. But God wants to bring you across the finish line. God wants to help you complete the building process. He's waiting to help. Finally, as we're completing a fence, you and I need to stay focused. So often we lose focus in our lives. Our attention span is no longer than 5 minutes anymore. We're constantly looking at our cell phones. We're constantly going to the refrigerator. We're constantly going to the internet. We're constantly turning the TV on. I was going to say the refrigerator. But we're constantly turning our TVs on. Why? Because we don't have the attention span. Something's always taking our attention away from us. We lose focus, which is why we need to stay focused on completing the fence. Do you realize those things are designed to keep us away from God? They're designed that way, to keep us away from God. I did a search a year ago, and somebody brought it up at our men's retreat, and I can't remember what he said on this. But over a year ago, a person looks at their phone an average over 100 times a day. Just think about how you would be in your life and how focused you would be if you were to open up God's Word over 100 times a day. Well, Chad, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. It's completely possible. We just say it's impossible. Why? Because it's all about our priorities that we set in our life. It's all about our priorities. So we need to stay focused on completing the fence so Satan doesn't have an advantage over you and so that he doesn't come in and begin to attack you. By the way, when he begins to attack you, not only does he attack you, but he begins to attack your family. See, it's not just you that you're guarding. It's not just you that you're protecting, but it's your very family that you're protecting as well. Your children, your grandchildren, your nephews and nieces. There's so many things that are at risk, so many things that are at stake when it comes to building this fence. So I encourage you, you might feel defeated along the way. You might become tired and you might become weary, but stay focused on finishing the project that is at hand. Stay focused on completing that fence that is designed to protect you from Satan and his demons that he wants to take you out with. The fence that you are building is designed to protect you. It's not designed to hurt you, but it is designed to protect you and those that live inside your boundaries as well. The process of the fence building is very serious. It is something that might and probably gets neglected in a lot of our lives, probably something that we don't take in consideration. But we need to build fences around the boundaries of our heart, around the boundaries of our life. Finally, as we move on, as we complete the fence is now, the boundaries have been set up. The fence, the stakes have been put in. The fence has gone up. We've completed that task. And now there's an important thing that needs to take place. And that is signage. Signage. I can remember, and I still do this, as you go hunting, there are certain signs on people's fences when you're driving down the road. And some of those signs, it says, no trespassing. Beware of the owner. Things of that nature. You and I, when we build that fence and when it has become erect and completed, we need to put some signs around that fence. Why? Because we need to show the world that we're no longer the world's property, but we are God's property. So here are some signs that we need to put in. The sign that says, finally we need to put the signs around the fence that was just built. It shows the intruder that he is not welcomed, and if necessary, quick action will be taken. Quick action will be taken. I can remember on several different occasions firing too close to a house, out hunting, not realizing how close I have been to a house, where the owner of the house will come out with a shotgun in hand, or will come out with whatever he has, and he wants to take action. Why? Because you have violated his area. You have violated his home, and he's going to do everything that he can to protect it. Quick action is taken in place. We pulled into town last night. Just got back from the Kansas City area from the volleyball tournament. And the first thing that I saw as I was coming off the interstate was a car that's parked over in a corner. As soon as the van pulled in here, it was put in park, the first thing that I did was unlock the church, and I walked over to that car, and I wanted to see who was in it. Why? Because I didn't recognize the car. The car to me was an intruder's car, and I wanted to see who was there. Why? Because they're not welcomed. Usually if they're sitting there or parked there at night, they're not doing anything good. And so you take action on those things. Why? Because you want to protect your home. You want to protect what God has given you. And so signs that need to be posted on your fence are, beware, I am the property of God. And by the way, as you put those signs up, there's nothing to be ashamed of, because we are God's property. We need to recognize that he has ownership over us. We don't have ownership over him. We are God's property. Beware. We must show who has ownership over us. The other sign that we need to put up there is no trespassing. The owner will protect me at any cost. That's something I take great comfort in. One of the things I took comfort in as I was growing up as a young child was the fact that my mom and dad would protect me at any cost. My Heavenly Father will protect me at any cost. I'm thankful for that. The other sign that we need to put up is enter in at your own risk. And follow it up with this: I am a child of God's. I am His property. I am not responsible for any damage. These are signs that need to go around our fences so that the intruder will see that we have taken everything into consideration, so that when he looks at our fence, he sees how it's built, he sees how high it is, he sees how thick it is, and then he sees the signage that's around it. They are looking at this fence, they're seeing this property, and they're saying, this is a place that I do not want to mess with. This is a place that I do not want to go in because it is heavily secured and heavily protected, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me. Amen to that. Because we want to thwart off Satan. We don't want him to have any access into our life. We don't want him anywhere near our hearts. We don't want that at all. So we must take these necessary precautions in our lives. And finally, as the fence has been made, the signage has been put up, here's one thing that a lot of us forget in our lives. And many of us have been to this point. We built the fences. We put the signages up. And then something happens. Satan still creeps his way in. And why is it? It's for this thought right here. Because we haven't maintained the fence. We haven't maintained it. Every single day, you and I need to walk around the boundaries. And we need to find any way that Satan could get in and begin to do the repairs necessary. Repair those things. Fix it. So that he has no access to it. Don't even give him a little crease. Don't give him a little pinhole. Don't give him anything that where he can budge his way in. Maintain the fence. Where the damage that has been occurred over the time, repair it. Keep it strong for this very reason. So the enemy will not be able to hurt you or harm you in any way, shape, or form. Fence building is important for you and I to guard our heart. Once we let our guard down, and once we allow access to the enemy, that's when our heart will be given into destruction. And that's when the enemy is happiest. Guard your heart. Build a fence that is necessary to be built in your life. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'll have a word of prayer and ask Pastor to come and close us out this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray that if you have spoken to anybody's heart tonight about the fence-building process, God, I pray that you would begin to do the work that is necessary and needed in our lives. And we ask in your name, amen.